Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib's profanity-laced attack on the National Day of Prayer when the nation came together to pray for those affected by COVID-19. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Just want to let everybody know we are live in the studio today. And I know many of you are probably changing the way your life, planning your life with school closings around the country, not knowing when those schools will reopen. And so happening in the largest school district in the country was announced with New York City. But that, of course, has happened in many places. Actually, New York was having a tougher time making the decision because it's such a big decision to make because it's the largest school district. But in the midst of this, you know, the president called for a national day of prayer on Sunday, yesterday, specific to the virus. And this is common in our country when we have moments where we need to rally together and we ask, again, our country, our nation to come together and pray. Something you could do from home. You don't have to be at a place of worship. Something, again, that unites people of different faiths to pray as well. And, of course, you had some liberal activists. You remember David Hogg from the Parkland shooting, and he kind of went out of, kind of became so out of the mainstream that they kind of moved him from the state. He was too much for Michael Moore because he didn't know enough about what he was talking about. And so Michael Moore even kind of moved him from the stage. Well, he tweeted out, "Don't let this administration address COVID-19 like our national gun violence epidemic. Expletive, the National Day of Prayer. We need immediate comprehensive action." Okay, now he is just an activist kid, and that's one thing. But guess who elevated that tweet? Oh, yes, it's the Israel erasing extremist, Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from Detroit, from Michigan, who retweeted this to her followers to actually, again, expletive the National Day of Prayer. I think you can figure it out, folks, what is being said. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, very easy to figure out. Expletive the National Day of Prayer. You think at a time when, again, people are afraid, there's a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of questions. There's new rules coming out every day.
The new rules this afternoon.
There's going to be new rules at 3:30 p.m. Right. Eastern time. To see this out of our leaders, it's one thing to say I disagree with this policy or I think they could be doing more. That's kind of the criticism we're seeing all the time. But, and she's a partisan, and politics continues, as we saw with the boring debate last night with the two old men going back and forth at each other about how bad socialized medicine is, because look at Italy, for instance. But, not to get stuck on a tangent of something that no one paid attention to and should have been canceled, which is that Democrat debate. We have a member of Congress saying, again, expletive the National Day of Prayer.
The worst expletive.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with the word F, okay? That's the letter it starts with.
And she retweets out to the American people that expletive about the National Day of Prayer, which I think tells you, this comes on the heels of her, you know, wiping Israel off the face of the map, wiping Israel off the face of the earth. So it tells you where she's at without any question. And it's we are going to bring these to you as these come up because she should be held accountable for this. Legally accountable, politically accountable.
Yes. I mean, this is someone, again, this was a special National Day of Prayer that called for by President Trump. He has the ability to do that. I'll read it for you what his proclamation was. It was short. It was clear. And it was for all people, including Muslims. So, I mean, I don't know what Rashida Tlaib, but again, she's not actually a Muslim, as she said. So it's easy, I guess, for someone who's, I guess, an agnostic or atheist to say, you know, use the F word about prayer. What do you think about that? 1-800-684-3110. Your tax dollars paying for her salary. 1-800-684-3110. And those who help her write her tweets as well. 1-800-684-3110.
Don't forget, also, we're in a matching challenge campaign. You know, we're able to bring you this broadcast each and every day because of your support for the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we're going to get a matching gift for aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Make this clear again. The president called for a national day of prayer. It was yesterday. So if you attended church, if you attended religious services, but you didn't have to participate in this. He declared Sunday, March 15th, yesterday, a national day of prayer.
For all faiths, by the way.
Well, let me read that for everybody. Quote, in our times of greatest need, Americans have always turned to prayer to help guide us through trials and periods of uncertainty. As we continue to face the unique challenges posed by the coronavirus pandemic, millions of Americans are unable to gather in their churches, temples, synagogues, mosques, and other houses of worship. But in this time, we must not cease asking God for added wisdom, comfort, and strength. And we must especially pray for those who have suffered harm or who have lost loved ones. I ask you to join me in a day of prayer for all people who have been affected by the coronavirus pandemic and to pray for God's healing hand to be placed on the people of our nation. Again, it's not saying this is the only thing we should do, that we don't take any other actions, but it's actually in response to the fact that most of us did not have a place of worship to attend, or many Americans were told it's better not to attend. And in some cases, you didn't have a decision to make, depending on where you live in the country.
Right.
And by the way, it wasn't mostly government shutting that down. It was your place of worship making that call. Now we've been told, by the way, since Sunday morning, we now have the new report from the CDC that says any gathering of 50 should be less than 50 people. So that's most churches right there.
Yep.
If your church is going to follow CDC guidelines, likely not going to meet. They're not necessarily going to shut down churches yet at a national level, but they're putting out the recommendations for the states to then implement. Your states might, and your localities absolutely might. Catholic Church did it on its own in New York. I mean, and that's a huge deal for again to not have mass in not just New York City, but in New York State. But you've got these people. Oh yeah, tell people you had three cases at the end of this month at the Supreme Court for President Trump.
Yeah, three cases that we were going to argue on March 31st. They were consolidated into two oral arguments, but they were going to take place at 10 and 11 o'clock on March 31st. Those have been indefinitely postponed. The March 24th calendar, which was the week before, that has been indefinitely postponed. They're looking at options on rescheduling, but they're not going to know what those options are for rescheduling until we see what happens with the virus. They also said that a number of the justices will be working from home, which makes sense because of the age of the justices and the potential exposure within the building.
Yeah. I mean, so again, this is the reality of what's happening right now. We have 3,700 confirmed cases in the United States of COVID-19. And that is really, I think, a number that is just based off the small number of testing that's been done. That's ramping up significantly this week. And I think when that ramps up, you're going to see much larger numbers, especially in areas of the country where we know there have been community spread. So that means that, and then especially what I was listening to from the doctors and the scientists here is that when we get to the second level of testing, which is not just those who are experiencing some symptoms, but when we start basically testing everyone that wants to be tested, and a lot of workplaces, I think, when they kind of restart back and restaurants want to reopen, they're going to need to test everybody before they do. And the tests are free. They will be free. That the number will be gigantic because remember, there are vast sections of our populace which will not even show signs and are just carriers, including, it looks like, thank God, by the way, children. Does not look like children. The youngest person I think so far has been someone, an older high school student. You're talking about the youngest, the most vulnerable on the younger side of the spectrum are possibly carried. Now, when we start getting tests for them, these swabs done, the number could be huge. So we have to understand what that means. What does that mean? The social distancing.
But think
about, I will tell you where I am, it began. I mean, it certainly,
yes.
There are certain places that were busy, and those were grocery stores, hardware stores, people that needed medicine,
but
like
restaurants,
Walgreens type thing. Restaurants, yeah. I mean, you know what was busy is the delivery service for restaurants. And I'm telling you, if you have a local restaurant you really like, there's tons of delivery service. If they don't deliver on their own, they work with companies that do. There's small extra fees. But I mean, they're tiny fees to get it delivered to your door. And you can even tell those delivery people right now, let me know when it's been delivered, ring the doorbell. I'll then pick it up from the door. And so people are, there's a whole industry that can be kept up if we make the right decisions. So if you, especially locally, and I'm not just talking about chain businesses here, but locally as well.
But I mean, think about the fact, and I was going to ask this to Finn, that the Supreme Court of the United States, for about the third time in its history, that it's closed and for oral argument. It made perfect sense, by the way. I was an advocate of that. I thought there was no way, the justices, nor frankly, those of us that are advocates. I mean, I'm in the age group that you have to be concerned. I'm 63. And you've got to be concerned. The justices are in a couple in their 80s, a lot of them in their 70s. Then what are things like up in Washington right now?
It's a little bit surreal, Jay. I mean, it is pretty quiet here on Capitol Hill, not far from the Supreme Court. And a lot of the congressional offices are following the lead of the Supreme Court. Several offices are closed. Those that are open just have minimal staff. And, Jay, that's despite the fact that there are two very significant bills in the United States Senate this week, the coronavirus bill and then also the FISA reauthorization. And I would just say this. I mean, I don't want it to be lost on people the impact that the comment that Rashida Tlaib can have on issues like that. This is a time period, Jay and Jordan, where a Republican Senate and a Democrat House are going to have to work together repeatedly. We saw it on the $8.3 billion coronavirus bill, the first one, but there's going to be this new one that the Senate's going to take up this week, and then possibly a third one. Jay, there are going to be multiple times where they're going to have to come together, and the comments like the one she made are not going to be helpful. It's time to focus on that, not partisan divides.
Yeah, so let me get back to that. Again, a member of Congress, that's Rashida Tlaib. Last week, she was proudly declaring her erase Israel from the map, the Jewish state, pushed the Jews into the sea with her T-shirt, again, that showed no Israel, just all Palestine with the map of Israel. She was holding up Linda Sarsour's book. She is a known anti-Semite. Both of them are. They support the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement. To me, that's enough of a bar. If you support that, you are an anti-Semite. And she's gone further than that. Remember, can we play Rashida Tlaib? She's not someone who has shied away. This is why we've always questioned her and Ilhan and because of this kind of hiding behind hijabs and hiding behind kind of being a Muslim. And Rashida Tlaib's now come out and said she isn't at all, by the way. But remember, this is what she said the day she was sworn into Congress.
And you win. Woo! And when your son looks at you and says, Mama, look, you won. Bullies don't win. And I said, baby, they don't. Because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the
It's nice when you say, hey, I'm talking to my son, and bullies don't win, and what are you going to do?
Impeach the F.
Yeah.
So, got that.
She retweets from David Hogg, who's a out-there liberal young activist who, has a platform, is being used by the left. These are oftentimes you'll hear 10 years from now from people like David Hogg that they were totally being used by liberals and people like Michael Moore. And even he started saying things with Michael Moore on stage. Michael Moore knew was wrong about just the system of government we have. And they finally, they kind of took his platform away, if you notice. So, but he tweets out, F the National Day of Prayer. Mm. She retweets it right away. So this is on directly on COVID-19. What do you think about that, folks? 1-800-684-3110.
Let me take the call.
Because I'm imagining you were in prayer this weekend, whether you were able to attend religious service or as many churches and synagogues and mosques did around the country.
We
saw all the mosques. I saw the mosques doing it. I saw churches doing it.
On my Facebook page, we streamed Will Haynes' dad, Bill, who's been a friend of ours for many decades, his church service, Grace Baptist Church up in Somerset, Kentucky. We streamed their service.
Where I go, it was streamed. And our lead pastor had just gotten back from a 2-week trip from Israel. He wasn't there because he's self-quarantining because he's exposed to so many people, including elderly people. But again, I think that it's the absurdity here of these types. Now, remember, these are the Bernie Sanders supporters.
Well, they're politicizing
They're why Bernie Sanders is gone. Even though he was at the debate last night, this is why Bernie Sanders' campaign lost again, because these are the core of the Bernie Sanders people telling you to go F prayer in a time of national crisis. That's why Bernie Sanders is already lost to a man who can't get out what he's even running for. He's that bad.
That debate last night, we'll get into that later. And we'll do the second
it's not
half,
even that worth getting debated
joke.
Because it was them. It was, by the way, it was Joe Biden running to pay for all abortions at no cost. It was evil. It was
get rid
dark.
Of the Hyde Amendment.
It was he's flip flopped on that now to where he does not. He wants to use your taxpayer dollars to pay for elective abortions. And what I saw that last night was Joe Biden becoming a lot like Bernie Sanders. And to me, it was a gold mine. Later on, we're past the COVID-19 issue. That debate will be one that will be heavily used by the Trump campaign on ads involving Joe Biden, because it'll be Bernie and Joe buddying up. But let's go to the phone. We don't have time to go to the phones right now. 1-800-684-3110. I do want to let you know, even with courts, the courts may be on not having oral arguments.
But briefs are
but
still
you still got to get briefs in, right?
Got to get briefs in. We just filed our brief in the International Criminal Court in The Hague on Israel. We are working on other briefs literally as we speak right now. So while the arguments aren't taking place, the legal work goes on, and our ability to communicate with you via this broadcast. When you support the ACLJ, you are supporting keeping this broadcast on the air. So we want to encourage people to support us in that matching challenge.
All right, folks, here's what you do. You go to ACLJ.org. You double the impact of your donation. We really need you this month of March. We know it's a tough time, but our work continues. Double the impact of your donation. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We played a little of the highlights is a tough term to use, of the Democrat debate last night, which was in a CNN studio in Washington, D.C., between a communist and a guy who's moving very close to adopting many of those policies to try and make sure his base, that communist base, that's Bernie Sanders, doesn't totally abandon him when he faces Donald Trump in the November general election. That's Joe Biden. We've got primaries tomorrow. Some have been canceled. Again, you need to check your state, check what's going on. There's not going to be a lot of attention on these. And by the way, Joe Biden's expecting to win all of them tomorrow. And there may be little pickoffs here or there by Bernie Sanders, but he has no path right now to get the nomination. He just doesn't. So we're going to focus on, again, relevant news as much as possible to what's happening with the virus, but also what's happening surrounding the virus, like a member of Congress saying F prayer during a time of emergency. When a national emergency has been declared, a pandemic around the world, people are losing their jobs, people are uncertain about what tomorrow brings, and they are, uncertain about what the next press conference may close, and they are. I'm not just talking about the White House press conferences. I'm talking about your state press conferences. Basically, everything has been I know from my family, every activity has been closed. So this is interesting. By the end of May, if we were on this route, most airlines would be bankrupt.
That's what they're
that just came out. Breaking news: the aviation, their kind of trade union, trade association.
By the end of May,
that's 8 weeks from now.
That the aviation, if they're talking about the big companies, would be bankrupt.
We're talking the Deltas of the world. We're talking of the American Airlines. We're talking the big players here.
And so for her to make fun of prayer while all this is going on,
because how many people's job is that?
The insensitivity is unbelievable. But let's take it a step further.
Yeah.
Let's take this phone call. But I want people to understand also that we went on Friday, we hit an issue. And we ended up getting a big win. And maybe you want to talk about it in the second half hour.
Yeah.
But
we do need to update people. So remember in that the coronavirus bill that was rushed through the House, the initial language included, and it was found by members of Congress and their staff as they were reading through it, that the initial language included a workaround, the Hyde Amendment, that could reimburse all health clinics, even those that perform abortions, up to $1 billion. And Nancy Pelosi and the pro-abortion Democrats were caught in a move that we said was almost demonic in nature, in the sense that in a time of need for our country, they went to be politically divisive again and tried to hoodwink us into working around a law so that we'd be forced to use our taxpayer dollars to pay for abortions during this time period.
Well, it was intentional, Jordan. It was not missing an opportunity to take advantage of a crisis to put the abortion agenda front and center. Look, there was urgency with this bill to get the coronavirus bill to the Senate so that they could pass it before they left town, Jordan. And I would tell you, this game that Speaker Pelosi played is the reason that bill has not cleared the Senate right now. They have to come back today and try to deal with these two bills that are pending. But the reason they were not able to get to it last week is because Speaker Pelosi inserted that provision that would have made $1 billion circumvent the Hyde Amendment, which, as you know, Jordan, all dollars that go through the Department of Health and Human Services have been protected by the Hyde Amendment so that those dollars are not used for abortion. This would have been a slush fund that the abortion industry could have accessed and it would not have been governed by Hyde. Fortunately, Secretary Mnuchin, the Trump administration, working with members of Congress, identified it. They were able to remove it, and that language is not in the bill. But I would tell you two things, Jordan. The delay caused harm. And secondly, we are going to have to be very vigilant as subsequent bills come down the line, because she tried it once. There's no guarantee she won't try it again.
Folks, we're going to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That was a huge victory. We mobilized quickly. We exposed it on air. We got that video up. It got nearly 1 million people viewing it on Facebook. That's not including like Twitter and other social media outlets that we got it on. A quick video that I did right after the broadcast. And it was taken out of the final language. Now, Than, that final language is still facing hurdles because it was done in the darkness, and members of Congress didn't have time in the House to vote on it. The Senate is not rushing it through right now.
Well, and I don't know that they should at this point, Jordan, because yeah, a lot of members voted on it without being able to read it. So we're going to have to make sure that there aren't other poison pills like this in there. It is going to pass, Jordan, but that's sort of my point. The delay caused real harm. And one other thing, Jordan, because this came up last night, the Hyde Amendment. Joe Biden recently flip-flopped on it, directly applicable to this issue. And his enabling of Speaker Pelosi to do things like this would cause absolute harms. A change like this, Jordan, statutorily, would now get through under a President Biden or a President Sanders.
All right, folks, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Sheila's calling in from Colorado online, too. Sheila, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, Sheila, you're on the air. It looks like Sheila may not be there. So let's go to Cambria in Utah online 1. Cambria, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, gentlemen. I have a question for you regarding the coronavirus and how it's impacting us down here in the in the public forum. I have three jobs that deal with the public, and I have lost all employment until this thing ends. So I need a clarification and understanding of what the president, the funds that he's released.
Yeah, there's
any of those funds are going to unemployment.
Yeah, so that's a very good question. And I know this is a really stressful time for you and for your family. And I'll let Than address the specifics. But there are, and by the way, there are other bills that are going to be introduced on this. So the country is going to mobilize as if you were in a war to help people out. I mean, this is the idea here. For instance, I know, for instance, that a lot of kids get fed, especially from the inner city. Those two meals they get at school are important. Well, schools are figuring out that even though they can't have classes, there's a way to create the food, to distribute that via the school. They're looking at doing that. What about on the business side?
Yeah, so there's going to be several layers that apply. I'm not sure exactly which situation Cambria is, but it is going the bill that's being considered now would dramatically expand unemployment insurance. So I'm guessing that would probably be the first thing that would be helpful to her. There's also going to be a national paid sick leave program. You know, if you were to get sick, that would be administered from the federal government. That would go through the end of the year. And then Jay, maybe most specifically, Leader McConnell has already come out and said that he wants to address a situation just like that. He thinks a third bill is going to be needed to be very targeted. So I would just say three things. One, the national emergency that the president declared, that freed up the first tranche of money. There might be something there for her. This bill is going to address the unemployment insurance to expand that. And then I think you do need to look for a third bill originating in the United States Senate. And again, Jay, that's why these comments.
Because that last one I think is going to become very important for people.
Yeah, I think it's going to get introduced this week, Jay.
Okay,
the timeline on that might be a couple weeks out because these first two will be in place. But the comments by Rashida Tlaib, not helpful as you need to pull the both chambers together.
Yeah, well, you know what? I hope the members of the House, Republican and Democrat, ignore Rashida Tlaib. That's what I hope.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is the hope, is that you ignore it, but what we're going to do is condemn it. And I think we're going to give you an ability later on today. I mean, this was just breaking matter later on today so that you can also sign on to condemn this kind of action by a sitting member of Congress. Yeah, I don't care that she uses colorful language in the past or take out the fact she's a supporter of boycott, divestment, sanctions. This is something fresh. Now she's saying, she's endorsing a message. F the National Day of Prayer. F prayer in a time of crisis. Now, the president wasn't saying all we're going to do is sit on our hands and pray, and that's not what any religion teaches us to do. But you don't want to forget prayer at a time when you don't have many religious services meeting around the country. That's what the president was actually doing. Remind people, still pray. Support the work of the ACLJ. Be part of our matching challenge. Double the impact of your donation. We're broadcasting live, bringing our staff in. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, this second half hour of the broadcast. Let me get you up to speed on a few things. One, market's back down. There was a pretty sharp turn in the market down this morning. It's only rebounded by a couple hundred points. I mean, so still a market that is hovering at around 21,000, was up to, what was it, get back up to like 23, 24?
Yes, now it's down.
And,
yeah, that's exactly what
and,
it was.
And it's back down to 21.
As we're on the air
which
now.
Which is about the lowest point it's been at, somewhere around there.
And you could tell it was going to be that way because the future markets were way down.
It said that, yeah.
I looked the night before, because we're going to try to give you this kind of analysis, folks. So I looked the night before. Now, I think it will stabilize.
The question is, does it go below 20,000? That's the big question.
Yeah.
It could on this trajectory, or does tomorrow it keep? Does it go up enough to keep it above 20,000, basically? That's the question right now. And it's, again, there's day traders making money off this, people like of you that do that. That's one thing, to buy stocks low and sell them when they go high
and
the next day.
Nobody should be panicking, though, either.
No.
Nobody should be panicking.
I think that the panic is not in even the actual virus yet. The panic is in how to prepare for the new reality of the next couple of months. They say don't hoard, but be ready for 2 months. And when you see other people taking everything off the shelves, well, then you see the shelf full again. You want your turn to take everything off the shelves. So things like that.
They said the supply chain for food is
excellent.
The grocery stores are being unbelievably cooperative. There's good synergy between the federal government, the state government, and local businesses and national businesses. Now, there are going to be people that are impacted by it. For instance, we are working on, in our various offices, I mean, for instance, Stan will tell you this. Stan, in our office, you're the only one there.
Yeah, it's sort of my own self-isolation, Jay. But you know what? Here's the good news. The folks that are working out of here, since Capitol Hill is largely doing the same thing, they can continue to do their same work from where they are.
Yeah, we're doing that. Go ahead. No, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, they're telecommuting. I'm here in the studio so that I can be here with you and potentially run across the street to Capitol Hill if needed. But look, I think everybody's taking proper precautions. And Jay, as it relates to the market, look, that's fear, not merits-based. People need to take precautions, be smart, right. Keep a level head.
No, so, yeah, but like even here in our big media center, this is a big operation where multiple broadcasts come out of here a day. We're condensing the schedule. We're going to condense the number of staff that have to be here. We're doing all the things that you would do to reduce risk
for everyone.
For everybody. And I think all businesses are going to start be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, we're going to be like broadcasting this way as long as we can. So where you don't just have the audio, but you have the Facebook and Periscope option. As long as that's still something that the government is saying it's okay to do under the circumstances with the amount of people. And it's not saying absolutely don't leave your house for any reason. We'll be doing that. So 1-800-684-3110. We also have we will be on the air. I want to let you know that we've got other ways to be on the air too, live throughout this, and we plan on doing that. 1-800-684-3110.
Let me say something to that because Jordan mentioned this. Jordan does these 3-minute shorts, videos. He's going to do those. I'm going to start doing some different ones too. One letting everybody. They're going to be very informal. Maybe from my home office when I'm there. Saying, hey, this is what we're working on right now, just to keep everybody informed. But we're going to keep the broadcast on the air. Again, your support of the ACLJ allows us to do that at ACLJ.org.
Yeah, we're having to get some new equipment to prepare. I mean, so it costs money. We got to have it installed in places. So, again, your support matters. This month of March, probably more than a normal matching challenge month. Because, one, we know that the people are concerned. People are kind of hoarding, whether they're hoarding money, whether they're hoarding goods, because they're not sure yet. And listen, no one can tell you when this is absolutely going to be done. There's only predictions. Predictions are at least a couple of months, at least, that it will have a serious effect on your day-to-day life. But that's why I always tell you that the average donation to the ACLJ is $35 to $40. And right now, your $35 is like donating $70, but all your charge is $35. You know, your $40 is like $80, but all your charge is $40. It's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. It's a great time to support the work that we do at ACLJ.org. Because again, we're also this month, we're doing all the work that we do and we're preparing for how to continue it without you noticing any change at all. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, let's get to some phone calls as well. You know, we talked about exposing the Hyde Amendment workaround, which is really disgusting that Nancy Pelosi, using this time of national emergency and a special congressional bill to provide relief and to provide the necessary resources to those who need it, and a bill directly related to the virus, COVID-19. And she tried to include a workaround of the Hyde Amendment that would have put a billion dollar bailout for the abortion industry. And it got caught. And it was not in the bill, even though there's a lot of confusion about what was in the bill on Monday night, and they have to even go back and correct it, they said.
Yep.
It was not in that bill. We got a victory there. We beat Nancy Pelosi back on that and House Democrats, who, as we've heard even last night in the debate, to be a Democrat now, you must be pro-abortion to be a national figure. You could cast your vote for a Democrat and not be pro-abortion. But to be elected official or to get the support of the national party, it was clear for both Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. Either one of the two, they said, you know, to be part of the party, you got to be pro-abortion. We got a call just about that. Julie in California on line one. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Julie.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have one of my roommates is staunch Democrat. We've had our issues, so we don't talk a lot. But because of the virus, we've done, you know, we're dealing with that. And the other day, Friday, I thought I'll just bring it up. And I said, you know, I said, Congress is trying to help us with this. And Nancy brought in an abortion part of that bill. And he said, yeah, that was lame. And then he repeated it. And I thought, you know, maybe a few other Democrats will start thinking about how lame some of those people are in their party. That might be good.
I think they completely overplayed this. It showed what they were trying to do. And then I think it backfired in a very big way.
Yeah, it's a bridge too far. Look, the American people expect the parties to come together over something like this. And I will tell you, Jay, an emergency spending bill like this is always going to be hard for a Republican minority to stomach because they're not going to be able to read all of the details and know all of the ramifications. So to pull a stunt like this and to insert not just the abortion industry, but $1 billion of taxpayer funding, you know, that's something that even a lot of pro-abortion Democrats don't support taxpayer funding of abortion. To insert that into this, Jay, I think more than anything, it compromises any trust that was left between Speaker Pelosi and the minority. So it does real harm in trying to bring them together. But to the caller's point, I do think it has an impact when it comes to voters who might be a little bit more in the center. This is just something that I don't think a lot of them will tolerate.
You're trying to deal with a national tragedy, a national crisis. And what's the first thing that Nancy Pelosi went to? Well, we've got this bill that's pending. Let's stick abortion language in there, which shows you where their head's at. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it does. I mean, sure, they worship at the altar of abortion. Abortion is their religion. It's their political religion. It's the ultimate issue for them. It is what defines them as a political party now, the Democrats. And so at any chance they get, they take no, you know, they don't let any emergency pass without trying, when you're not focused on that, to get you to not read between the lines of what they're writing into their legislation. Because, Stan, that's what it really took. It's something you could quickly read, say all these clinics are getting reimbursed, but you realize when there's no language protecting what clinics are getting reimbursed, there you go. That means abortion clinics can get reimbursed. That means $1 billion to them. And last night we had two Democrat candidates talking about how great their NARAL ratings were. I mean, literally. So it's on the top of their mind, even in a time of national emergency and crisis. It's their top issue.
Isn't that pathetic when you think about it?
Yeah.
Watching that whole debate last night, I thought was pathetic, actually. But take a listen to this. In the middle of everything that's going on, this is what they want to talk about.
You have a lifetime 100% voting record from NARAL?
I know my record of late from NARAL has been 100%. I don't know whether it was 25 years ago.
Well, all right. I mean, I think one of the differences, not to, you know, pick a bone here, is I have been consistent. All right. I've always believed in that, and you have not. I'm glad you have changed your views.
I mean, I think this shows you how ridiculous this, in the middle of this, they're bragging about who has the higher NARAL rating. That's the thing that has them
who supports
the
killing
most
the most babies.
Right.
All right, back to the phones we go. Judy in Orlando, Florida, on line three, a city also because of the, you know, the tourism being a huge part of their economy there and all the parks and many of the hotels being shut down.
Yep.
Parks are shut down, hotels by the end of the week. Judy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Hi, Jordan.
Hey.
My question is that some governments are offices are closing down to 50% of their staff and other places are closing down and saying, you know, indefinitely. What are the abortion clinics doing? What are their parameters for this CONUG virus?
Well, they're considered, believe it or not, medical facilities, so they're not going to be required to close down. Now, they're going to have to take precautions, obviously, like any other place where you have you're supposed to have a sterile environment. Of course, probably NARAL, these groups would say, oh, none of this would apply to them. But the fact of the matter is they're deemed medical facilities, so it's handled a little bit differently.
Kind of.
Yeah.
They're deemed kind of medical facilities, but they don't have to have the same standards of care as an ER, okay, which ERs you go into during a wild night, you know, I mean, they try to keep it as clean as possible,
yeah,
but they got
tough.
A lot coming on. That's all they've wanted to hold abortion clinics to, and they fight those restrictions. Right now, they don't have to have admitting privileges in a nearby hospital when an elective procedure like an abortion could become life-threatening for the mother. They don't have to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital under the current law as it stands. Now, the cases at the U.S. Supreme Court about that. But again, right now, they don't. I think, again, the whole reason this is relevant, even to this discussion, is because Nancy Pelosi made it relevant. Democrats keep making it relevant. Even not just at the debate, but inside the COVID-19 legislation, they tried to get a work around the Hyde Amendment to get $1 billion to the abortion industry. It is absurd. But I do want to start hearing from people. How is this affecting you generally, too? How is COVID-19? Schools, work, are you working from home? You work in the healthcare industry. How is it affecting you? Give us a call. We want to hear from people from around the country. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. What have your municipalities done? How has that impacted you? 1-800-684-3110.
Let me also just say that while we've been even on the air, let me tell you what's going on. We filed a brief with the International Criminal Court at The Hague this weekend on behalf of Israel. Our position supporting Israel. What's interesting is I just got emails from Skip Ash, our senior counsel, in our Virginia office. And what's interesting there, and this is important, 1, 2, 3, 4, looks like 5, 6 briefs have been filed already in addition to ours. So we'll be reviewing all of those. What I'm saying is, as we're talking about all these issues, our work goes on.
Yes. We're using radio to inform you about what's happening nationally.
Yeah, we're utilizing the broadcast to inform you what's going on. But again, this points to the fact, I think, that it's important for people to understand, while there may be reductions here and there, that the work goes on, whether it's remotely or at an office. Work is going to go on. Courts are being very cautious. Even this, like I said, the Supreme Court decided no oral arguments, which I think was actually the right thing to do. They should have announced it, I think, even earlier, but they did announce, and they haven't given us a new date, by the way.
Yeah.
So I suspect they want to see what happens with all this, which makes sense as well. Fan?
Yeah, Jay, it just changes where the work takes place. I mean, and look, I would just apply it to the work that we do here in a public policy space for the legislation that's moving through Capitol Hill. We've been talking about that Hyde Amendment provision that had to come out. Jay, we're going to have to be ever more vigilant as each of these funding bills comes down the pike, because I think there's going to be other efforts to do the same thing. So to your point about the work continuing, yeah, we're going to have to be in close communication with those who don't come into the office. But honestly, Capitol Hill needs the help now more than ever. I was texting back and forth with a leadership staffer about this very provision, trying to give them some help getting through the bills before they actually came through to the floor for a vote. Because, Jay, there's just not always a lot of time when there's these negotiations between leadership. Sometimes they do need help to divide and conquer, to get through the legislation and make sure these things are rooted out. So while it might change where we're doing the work from, I would tell you that in many ways it's more important now than ever, because this is when they try to sneak things in.
Yep. And especially, yeah, they use every crisis possible to sneak in laws that, if you weren't in a crisis, would never get through. Certainly, because once it got through, even if it got through the House, the Senate would take it out. It would go back to the House. They'd have to vote it through without that language in. But you've got to catch it, and they're trying to get it through. It's gross, but this is. But they just explained to you politics in a nutshell, using the crisis to try to sneak in issues that are usually like too controversial to get through a divided Congress.
But here's what was good about that. We were able to aggressively address it with our multimedia platforms, including our social media platforms. And I don't know what the final count with how many people saw the video that we put together, that Jordan did and the team put together, but I think it was over 600,000.
It's over 700,000 now.
Over 700,000. So that had a huge impact, and it reached, you know, probably a million or more pages on Facebook alone, so that doesn't include Instagram and all the other Twitter feeds information. So what I'm trying to say is we're going to continue to address these issues. There you had the life issue brought front and center in the middle of a bill dealing with the coronavirus, and they were trying to sneak in language to support abortion. So it kind of tells you the nature of what this is. So I want to encourage you, when you support the ACLJ, whether it's on the issue of life, whether it's defending Israel, whatever it might be, or supporting our ability to keep this broadcast and this team that produces it on the air, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference, especially in a matching challenge month.
Yeah, I mean, here we are. We're fighting, you know, we're protecting prayer in courts. We are protecting religious liberty in courts. We've got a member of Congress saying, F prayer. All right? We're going to have action for you to take on that. Because while we're fighting for your religious liberty, we got members of Congress. Yeah. We're going to have
censured.
You a way to condemn it. Again, support the work of the ACLJ in our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Take your calls when we get back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Old men trying to. Now is the handshaking culture over? You saw Bernie. We can't show this stuff on Facebook and Periscope. I mean, we can show you on Facebook and Periscope. We can't show you on, like, most of our listeners. They were trying to elbow bump. It's just you know, people are not ready for that. They're like not ready to elbow bump yet. It gets very awkward. But I think I'm right. I'm where the president is. We can be a no handshaking culture. Cultures are different around this across the world. And by the way, some of the spread that we've seen in very places where you wouldn't think the spread would be so bad because of their socialized medicine and everyone should have access to healthcare, except for they've run out of ventilators and they've run out of respirators for the doctors and ventilators for the patients, is places like Italy, touching cultures, you know, kissing the cheeks, a huggy, very, very, you know, just affection, even amongst, and nothing bad about that, I'm saying, it's just cultural. We're actually one of the countries that is the least touching. You know, we're kind of Germanic in our approach to that, but we still shake hands, which is kind of, though it seems like the least, is actually so kind of the worst you could do because your hands are on everything. And so the long-term effects of this, I think, will be big. I think we're going to have mindset changes. But I want to go right to the phones. We got a lot of good calls coming in. Let's go to Marissa in Arizona because I want people from around the country what they're experiencing. Marissa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
So over here in Arizona, we haven't really been freaking out, but we've been freaking out. And then our governor closed our schools down yesterday. So yep. Statewide, there's no schools open. And the hardship that presents to a lot of these rural families and rural communities.
Yeah.
And, you know, economically, what's this going to do in 6 months? Well, you know, 6 months down the road. How are we going to be dealing with
it? Well, look, hopefully this isn't going to be a six-month situation, yeah. But I think, look, the federal government, as well as your state and local governments, are going to do everything they can to lessen the burden. I mean, that's the idea with the legislation. That's the idea with the plans that have been put in place. So, Than, I think that if you were going to say what is the theme for all of this, it is to try to lessen the burden of this crisis, this situation, as best we can. Governmentally,
yeah, because
with private-public partnerships, and also federal, state, and local government.
Because the caller's correct, the precautions that we do have to take now do come in at an economic price. And Jay, I would just tell you, I think I have seen pretty good agreement between Republicans and Democrats with the president that there is going to be this repeated approach taken. You already had the emergency supplemental. You have the bill that's moving now. And then you actually have Leader McConnell leading on the third one. So you had Speaker Pelosi lead on the first, Leader McConnell lead on the third. I think that will continue to happen, Jay, because look, that's just reality. The precautions that are in place, they do have an economic impact. And quite frankly, people can suffer from those as well. So I do think you will see D.C. Continue to work together on that, so long as they don't follow the example of Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah.
By the way, we're up to the 13th brief in that case in the International Criminal Court in The Hague as of right now, 13 of those. So we're analyzing all those as they've come in.
Let's go.
We are analyzing those, and we obviously haven't done them all yet.
Yeah. 1-800-684-3110. Back to the phones. Oh, we go. Let's do Deborah calling from Texas Online, too. Deborah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi.
Yep. Hey, Deborah.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to address that I work for a major airline, and the hit that the airlines are taking is so dramatic, cutting down flights for the next few months to 50%. We're talking tens of thousands of people being potentially laid off, and it's really I'm one of those possibles, and it's really, I think, hitting a bigger impact than I think what people really realize.
Well, the major airlines, look, are there. I mean, I've received some notifications from Delta and also, I think, British Air. And they're all trying to figure out what the impact's going to be. But cutting those lines down, in other words, cutting the transmission through the aircraft down is important to try to remember. The whole goal here is to flatten this curve to keep the numbers down, or at least to keep them from rising at a exponential rate. They're still going to rise, is what all the medical professionals say, but that's what they're trying to do. Now, there may be some more restrictions put in place. There's talk,
at least you've seen this in the media, that there could be domestic travel restrictions put in place
to some areas,
to some specific locations. I mean, they had a trouble. They had trouble with a New York to Florida flight, so that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, listen, airlines, as we reported, I mean, I think there's reason to be concerned if you work for one. It's not out of the question, because they're saying that at this rate, they could be filing bankruptcy in May. Because this is such a huge, I mean, when you're talking about cutting half your flights, that's half your staff.
But also, they have contingencies in place, too.
The government can also come in.
Yes, and the government comes, that's when you need government to come in to assist.
That's why you don't want socialism always doing it, because you need the money for when the government needs to do it,
right?
Not always doing it. You don't want the government always running it, but when the government needs to have bailout programs that are so that we don't lose entire industries that we all utilize and so many people work for down the line, you have the resources to do it.
You know, on Facebook said, I feel terrible for the airlines, travel, and restaurant industry.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all do. And look, this is the hardship. There are going to be hardships. But again, the attempts at the congressional level, so at the federal level, state level, and local level, is going to try to ease the burdens the best way possible. It's not going to be perfect, but they're going to try to ease the burdens. I think you're going to hear more about that this afternoon.
Yeah, let's go to Jason, Iowa. This is interesting. Jason, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes, appreciate you all, and you all do a wonderful analysis. I am a local driver for what semi.
Yep.
So, as a matter of fact, I'm driving right now, and I went to one of my customers, and before I could actually enter the facility, they actually take a thermometer and check your temperature, and if you're over a certain temperature, they won't allow you in the facility. They tell you, they won't take the order at that time.
Well, I think that's actually smart, and it's like, in our facilities, uninvited guests. When I say uninvited, I don't mean in a negative way, just people showing up for a meeting that we, those kind of things. You stop all that. You don't just have people coming in your offices. Everybody's trying to reduce the transmission. That's social distancing. That's what it's a harsh-sounding word.
It's just saying be precautious.
Be precautious.
Smart.
Yeah.
Do what you can in the smartest way possible that causes the least amount of upheaval. So, again, for any decisions that are made, when we talk about people across the country that are able to telework, they're not losing their jobs or pay. They're getting the same pay, they're having to produce the same amount of work. It's just, again, they may not have the abilities to be meeting face-to-face. That may hurt to some extent. But a lot of that has changed now with the technology we have. Now, there are some jobs, like his job, where that's not a possibility.
And it's important to keep those trucks on the road, because that's part of the food chain. The food chain and the ability to keep the channels of delivery open, and that's being worked on.
And for what we know about the virus so far, things like deliveries, that's why cargo, it can't live long enough on these pieces of paper, your mail and things like that. By the time it's gotten to you and you've opened the mailbox, it should not have, even if it was on there, it should be gone.
Let's take the last call.
Sarah in Nebraska, final call of the day. You're on the air.
Real quick, Sarah.
Hi. I was hoping you could clarify during a state of emergency how much ability the government has to limit our freedom of assembly and how long that can last.
It's called a reasonable time, place, and manner restriction. So if there's a need, and here you would have one because of the virus, you could say we're not going to allow an assembly of more than a certain amount of people at a certain amount of place, at a certain place, in a particular manner. Time, place, and manner. If they're content neutral, we're not letting the Democrats meet, but the Republicans can, or vice versa. If it's content neutral, time, place, and manner restrictions are appropriate, especially where there's a compelling interest. Don't forget to support the ACLJ matching challenge. Help keep the broadcast on the air. Help keep that work you saw us doing at the ICC in Israel. Keep us in prayer. We'll keep you in prayer as well.
ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.